When you go to buy gas or you go to buy something in a shopping mall, your transaction usually is not complete until you get a receipt. A receipt simply summarizes the things you've been buying and the proof that your transaction is complete. The first reading this weekend from the Acts of the Apostles tells us something that has to do with the receipt. Not the receipt that we get when we buy stuff, but another kind of receipt. In the Christian life, when we receive the sacrament of confirmation, it completes the reception of the Holy Spirit. It completes the rites and rituals and every work of God that began at the sacrament of baptism. And for the adults, if you remember your catechism well, the catechism of the Catholic Church says you now become strong and ready to go out into the streets and witness and tell everyone that, I am a Christian. And in the very and exact words of the catechism, it makes you a soldier of Christ because you've received the fullness of the Spirit. So in other words, the sacrament of confirmation is the receipt you get. You receive the sacrament of baptism, and then you receive the sacrament of confirmation. So the first reading gives us evidence of this sacrament and how tradition has had it. It's been handed on to us up to this very day and age. St. Philip goes to preach the good news to the land of Samaria. And remember, if you read the Gospel of John, chapter 4, you remember quickly that Jews and Samaritans were not really good friends. Not really good friends. And so here, Philip, a Jew, is sent to preach to the Samaritans. But good enough, with the help of the Holy Spirit, he leaves a very good impression on these people to the extent that they are convinced and they become Christians. They are converted to the faith and he baptizes them. But because he's not got the fullness of the orders, the senior apostles join him for another kind of work. They join him, and what do? They lay hands on these newly baptized people, and what did they receive? They received the Holy Spirit. And that tradition has been carried on in our church. Our priests in the various parishes prep us for the reception of the sacrament of baptism, and then when we're ready, the priest is going to invite the bishop, the senior apostle, and is going to come and lay hands on people, and people receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. They receive the sacrament of confirmation. And this is the spirit that our gospel reading is talking about. Jesus tells his close followers, he knows that he's about to leave, he's about to ascend. It's almost 40 days, and then on the 50th day, the Holy Spirit will be descended upon them. But he tells them, he's now preparing them for his departure. He tells them, I am going to send you another advocate. I won't leave you as orphans. I'll send you another advocate. Logically, that means before Jesus sends another advocate, there was already an advocate. Jesus was the advocate. And in our own understanding of that word, advocate, we know that an advocate is someone that stands in for the other, especially in courts of law, and speaks for this person who cannot speak for themselves. And so that is who Jesus is. And Jesus was there. What did he do? Jesus stood in for men and women who had sinned before God. So he stood in the courts of law of God and said, now, I'm going to become the Lamb. Yes, instead of punishing them, I take away their sins. He was our advocate. And the manifestation is there. The proof is there. On the cross. But it says, I'm going to send you another advocate. And this advocate is going to come in such a way that many people won't embrace. This advocate is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit that is going to make you stronger and give you that courage to go and spread the good news, baptize all nations and make sure the word of God is known, make sure everyone believes in Jesus Christ and make sure everyone has accepted that Jesus is our Savior. That is the Spirit. But it tells them immediately, it won't be that easy. It won't be that easy. People won't accept you. People may not listen to you because they do not understand the Spirit. You will know the Spirit because the Spirit will be with you. The Spirit will abide in your heart. And this Spirit is the divine law. This Spirit is the new law which has been written in our hearts. And this is the Spirit that shouts to God on our behalf, crying to God, saying, Abba, Father. That is the Spirit of truth, the Spirit that has helped us understand the summary of the Ten Commandments, which says, love God with everything about you, and then love your neighbor as you love yourself. That is the Spirit. That is the Spirit. And now, because now that we have been baptized, we've received the sacrament of confirmation. Some of us have received the sacrament of matrimony. Some have received the sacrament of ordination. Some have received the sacrament of what? Holy Communion, Eucharist, and all the sacraments. We're strong enough Christians. We can go into the streets and be part of the mission of the apostles and preach the good news by the way we live our lives. But St. Peter tells us in the second reading that, it's not that easy. Always do that. It's not easy. It's not easy because people that do not accept Christ are going to rise up in arms and they're going to persecute you. They're going to insult you. They're going to abuse you. What will you do in the face of persecution? That is the big question of the second reading. And I'd love to place just a little more focus on that second reading. How should a Christian behave in the face of persecution? How? Quickly, St. Peter gives us the answer. And the answer is in Christ Jesus. What happened on Good Friday? All these people that went and got a sponge and dipped into sour wine and put it in Jesus' mouth to drink, these people that were hanging around him and abusing him, people that were insulting him, people that were slapping him, all those are the people persecuting Christ. What was Christ's response? His response was, Father, forgive them, they know not what they are doing. That is what a Christian is supposed to do in the face of insult, in the face of persecution. Yes. And what would Jesus even say earlier on, that if someone slaps this cheek, you turn the other? It's not that easy, It's not easy at all. But that is the way of Christ. And Peter puts it in this word. He says, react with gentleness and reverence and forgiveness. Yes, someone tries to beat the hell out of you. What do you do? Do you fight back? Yes, the natural response is you fight back, you retaliate. But Christ doesn't do that. Wouldn't Christ call down power and brimstone and everything from heaven to consume all these people that were torturing him? He had the power. But he chose the way which is polite, but it's very heavy. Heavy, filled with meaning, filled with lesson. That is the way of Christ. So when they insult you, when someone persecutes you, when someone beats you up, when someone gossips about you, how do you behave? Respond with gentleness and forgiveness. In other words, you might want to ignore. Those who love computers, there are two options there. Whenever you right-click on the computer somewhere, it tells you the first one, ignore once, and the second one says, ignore all. Yes, when someone insults you, what do? Ignore all. Don't just ignore once, ignore all. That is it. That is it. That is the Christian way. And I'm telling you, as we all know, there is no Easter without Good Friday. There is no being a Christian without persecution. And this is how Pope Francis places it. He says, persecution in modern day times is like daily bread. Yes. And I would love to end with Pope Francis' thoughts on the day last year when Christians in Pakistan were tortured on Easter Sunday while they were celebrating Easter. A group of people tried to do some form of terrorism onto them as they prayed. And a few days after that, when Pope Francis was preaching, he said, persecution is real. But he made really good distinctions. He said, there are two kinds of persecution. There is the explicit severe persecution, which we know, like that type of St. Stephen the Martyr, when people stone you, when they call wild animals to tear you apart. That is the severe persecution. That still happens today, especially in places of North Africa. People, East Africa, where there's Al-Shabaab, where else? Middle East, where these people are fighting day in and day out, left and right. That is the explicit. But Pope Francis warned also that there is the most common kind of persecution. It's called polite persecution. It's so polite that it's so hard to notice. It's there, but it's very lethal. And when he tried to name, there were lots of examples, inexhaustible. Lots of examples. And one of them was gossip. You know, gossip can be a form of persecution. It's very polite, but it's destructive. The tongue, St. James says the tongue can be lethal, huh? And I was sharing in the morning mass, I said, the culture here is just a little different. But in Uganda, when people want to gossip about you and they don't want you to notice, what do? They use their mouth to point at you. They do like this. So you go somewhere and then someone touches the other one, the one they want to talk about you. That's how they do. You know here. I know what happens here. I know how people, when they want to gossip about you, what they do. That is persecution. What about the insults that we meet on the streets? That is very lethal. It's worse than this severe that someone, you know, has to get a gun and shoot you. No, it's worse than that. This is the one that destroys Christian charity, destroys love. Even when God says, love your neighbor the way you love yourself. How easy is it to love your neighbor the way you love yourself? How do you love yourself? I love myself. I don't want to smell, so I bathe. I take a shower. That's how much I love myself. So if I love the other person, let me do for them something good. Just like I would bathe my body and smell good. Do you love yourself? Father Kyle and TJ and then Deacon Zach sang a song. Do you really love Jesus like I do with all your heart? Do you love Jesus? You say you love Jesus, but Jesus will ask you, but do you love yourself? Because I'm in you. The Spirit is in you. And you're created in the image and likeness of God. So there is God in you. There is God in you, not just in your body. God fills you. The whole of you, God is there. So do you love yourself? And if you love yourself, do you love your neighbor? And who's your neighbor? Your spouse. That guy that sleeps next to you in bed. That's your neighbor. That child that bothers you all the time at home. That is your neighbor. Do you love your child even when they annoy you? Kids, do you love your parents even when they get mad at you? Those are your neighbors. Co-workers, huh? You go to work, do you love your co-workers? Even when they talk ill of you? It's not easy, my brothers and sisters. It's easier said than done, huh? It's easier said than done, which means we can never fully love our neighbors the way we love ourselves unless with the help of God. And that's why we've gathered here today. We've gathered to pray so that God gives us those graces we need for this new week, that we have the strength to love even those that we hate. Yeah, that is the Christian way. And so at the end of it all, I would love to ask you this question. How should you react when someone insults you? Because you're a Christian, you've come to church to pray. When your honey, when your spouse, when your sweetheart, that's how you call it, when they annoy you, when they insult you, when they become careless and talk carelessly about you, how should you react? How should you react? I was in conversation with a friend of mine. He's a married man, he's from Kenya, and he was telling me, Father, this thing of getting married is not easy. I am struggling with my wife. She bugs me all the time, she annoys me, I don't know what to do. Then I asked him, how do you react whenever she annoys you? Father, I don't want to show it. I don't want to show it. But we're in conversation with another man who said, for me, when my wife annoys me, what I tell her, I say, honey, go and dress up and we go to the shopping mall. I'm going to be buying you some clothes. Covering it up. What is your methodology? What do you do? Husband and wife, brother and sister, yes, how do you do it? You might have a way, but the Christian way is respond with gentleness and forgiveness. Think about, just for a minute, think about what Christ would do to us. If you were God, you think you would accept all of us? All these people doing things that are displeasant. How many times do we annoy God by breaking the Ten Commandments? How many times? He still forgives us. And that's why his son afforded to tell us that forgive seven times, unlimited. Of course, he is God, but also he was a human being. He experienced our lives and is telling us that it's possible. It's possible. It's possible. I would love to conclude with the words of Pope Paul VI, who said, it's not easy to be a Christian. It's not easy. It's not easy to get to heaven. Family members, remember, one of your primary roles being in that family is to make sure your spouse, your children, and all those family members you hate get to heaven. Are you trying your best? Are you somewhere there close? It's not easy, but make sure they get to heaven. Don't get to heaven and then God asks you, where is your spouse? I don't know. Let your answer be like this. Dear Jesus, I tried to get my spouse to heaven. I did my part. Let that be your answer. The Lord be with you.